Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Stuart Acuff with Utility Workers Union of America, asking you to tune in every time you can to Bob Carson's Carson's Corner, one of the best pro-labor shows in America. We love it at Utility Workers. We love it across the AFL-CIO, and we're grateful to Bob for coming on and holding up our issues and holding up our principles and values.
I'm Andrew Craig. I'm an investigative reporter and attorney based in Washington, and I'm the author of Presidential Puppetry, Obama, Romney, and Their Masters. And I want to encourage everyone to support, listen to, and talk about the Carson's Corner show in New Jersey, which is a pioneering, courageous, and apt voice for progressives in New Jersey that I first came to know in 2009 when he was the pioneering and virtually unique media outlet willing to take on Chris Christie, dig deep, and look at how he had come to power and how he was misusing it. And 4 years, 5 years later here, that's all come to pass.
Hi, this is David K. Johnston, and you're listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Lamar Waldron, the author of Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy, those two books, the latter of which will become a movie produced and starring Leonardo DiCaprio in 2013. And you are listening to Carson's Corner with Bob Carson on Underground Progressive Radio.
This is Les Leopold, the author of How to Make $1 Million an Hour, and I just want to tell you that you'll get a rich and rewarding experience by listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Greg Palast, reporter for BBC Television and Democracy Now, and author of the new book Vulture's Picnic, In Pursuit of Petroleum Pigs, Power Pirates, and High Finance Carnivores, and you're listening to Carson's Corner on 5:30 a.m. Underground Progressive Radio. Radio for the 99%. Help us occupy the airwaves and support Carson's Corner and support 5:30 Underground Progressive Radio.
Hey, this is Frank Schaefer, author, writer, New York Times bestseller. But I'm here today because I've got a new book called Why I'm an Atheist Who Believes in God. And I'm also on Carson's Corner because corporate media is so one-dimensional in terms of the kind of things they cover, that they couldn't comprehend a discussion that would begin with a statement that implies a huge paradox. But I think there's a lot of thinking people out there who understand that life is paradoxical, and Carson's Corner is one of those places you can discuss it. So thanks for being with us.
Live here on Carson's Corner, June 19th, 2014. My name is Bob Carson, broadcasting live here in conjunction with the CommonsProjectNetwork.com. We have a great show for you here tonight. You know, I've been talking about the importance of the Zeitgeist movement and some of the concepts introduced in Peter Joseph's films that have really changed the way that I have looked at the market system and the monetary system. And you know, it's just such it's such an important analysis that would really make you think outside of the box. And it's very, very important stuff. And tonight we're going to have a member of the Zeitgeist movement, Harry Kaysen. He's a member supporter of the Zeitgeist movement, and he's also a political science professor at the City of University of New York College of Staten Island for over 20 years. And I had the opportunity to meet Harry at the Left Forum, and they had a great panel discussion, members of the Zeitgeist movement, and it was a very interesting and lively panel discussion that I listened in on, and I wanted to have Harry on the show. And sure enough, I was able to do so. So this is actually a monumental edition of Carson's Corner in the sense that this is the first Zeitgeist member that we've had on the program. And, of course, you know I've been speaking about this movement for a long time. So without further ado, let's bring on our guest here for the evening, Mr. Harry Kaysen. Harry, welcome to Carson's Corner.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate your inviting me.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. I was just telling the audience about the panel discussion that you guys had at the Left Forum a few weeks ago. And I was telling people about the Zeitgeist movement and how it really changed the way I looked at the market system and the monetary system. And I think some of the concepts that are put out by the movement are just spot on. And so I just kind of want to get somebody on the program here to maybe explain the movement a little bit more to our audience and what drew you to the movement, and then just kind of go from there. So if you would, tell us how you gravitated towards the Zeitgeist movement.
Well, I've been studying politics and economics and sociology and philosophy and history for a long time now. And I came to the conclusion that competition is not really the way that we human beings are going to move forward. We actually move forward on the basis of cooperation. Internally, that's what companies do. That's what businesses do. They work cooperatively. But we don't do that at the level of society. And the assumption that we've been told all our lives and we've been given is that competition spurs development, and it can, but it does. It has a lot of negative consequences that we don't talk about. So, which we'll do tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I heard about the Zeitgeist movement, and I couldn't believe my ears that there were actually people willing to say, for example, that we don't need to have a society of competition where, and we don't really need, we don't need money, actually. Money is it can be helpful in times and places, but we have a capacity today through our technological capabilities to produce enormous amounts of resources for all. But money actually is the way that you get access to these things. And if you don't have money, then of course you're going to just do without, and that's where half the world's population is today.
Mm-hmm.
Half the world's population really has to, well, lives on $2.50 a day. In fact, a recent figure just came out that around 85 people have as much money and wealth as the bottom 3.5 billion people on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
So money is a source that's used, or money is something that's used to hoard and to control other people. It can be used to for exchange, but there are other ways of doing it. The big thing that I am so proud of the Zeitgeist movement for bringing forward is the idea that we can use open source computing to determine what we want and what we need in the production system. We can do that through an open computing system. Now, the present system that we have says we need money. We need money in order to see that things get distributed properly. But indeed, if you see that half the world's population is living on $2.50 a day, I think we can see that there's something wrong with that picture. and that money does not get distributed well, and therefore resources do not get distributed well. In fact, Zeitgeist Movement has made a big point of the fact that somebody, you know, and again, in competition, somebody's got to lose. And in this game of competition for money, it is issued with a price tag. We call it the interest rate. Now, the interest rate is actually not actually issued as is the money supply that comes out of the Federal Reserve or whatever national central bank, whatever country you're referring to. So the there is actually a problem with interest itself. How does it get paid back? Just reading a story today about Argentina and their problem. I mean, whole countries fall into the situation where they cannot pay back their debts. If you don't have issued as much money as that is actually demanded back, cause, so you have the money that's issued, and then you have the interest rate, that the interest that also has to be paid back. If all that isn't created, which only the money that the initial money is created, and the interest rate or the interest charges are not is not created, then you have to ask, well, how do I pay it back? How does it happen that I can possibly pay this back? Somebody has to lose, and right. in a game of competition. And well, you know, it's an incredible situation where I would actually say that 80% of us have lost the game. The game is over. It's not, you know, we really haven't.
You know, one of the things that you touched upon, I think it's so important, is you touched upon the pursuit of money and how we're built a sale of goods here in the United States that the pursuit of money is somehow going to benefit everyone. The Zeitgeist Movement talks about the money sequence of value and how the money sequence of value, you know, the more goods and services that are sold throughout an economy, that the higher the GDP is, the more money corporations are making, that's somehow supposed to correlate to the life sequence of value. And what we've seen here in America is it's almost been the complete opposite. And this is one of the things I think that has driven people to the Zeitgeist Movement, the fact that capitalism right now, or perhaps any type of ism, as Peter Joseph says, is not going to benefit the society as a whole, has a whole bunch of material contradictions within, is not working, and therefore people are seeking an alternative. And I think that's very important. You know, the richer the corporations get, the higher the GDP is, the amount of money that we spend, for example, healthcare spending, as you know, is off the charts. We're spending, you know, 18% of our GDP on healthcare. And yet, what is that a measure of? It's a measure of sick and dying individuals because we have the worst health worst health outcomes of any other industrialized country. And so I think, you know, this is just one component and one idea that the Zeitgeist Movement lays forward that is just absolutely correct.
Well, you know, again, I would go back to the point of competition. This is the reason why the flow of money and the distribution of resources just doesn't happen because over a period of time, fewer and fewer people are able to take more and more of what is out there. More and more people have less and less to gain, and that puts everyone, or at least most of us, in a very precarious situation. The system promotes growth, endless growth, and that, no, I'm sorry, that nothing can grow forever.
Right.
So if you're going to try to push that line of growth, which, by the way, the the vast majority of that growth goes to that small percentage that have won the game, so to speak. And so we promote, in order to grow, we promote private prisons, as you say, hospitals or the medical industry. Having more prisons and having more hospitals and more sick people, as you say, is actually promoting growth and therefore supposed to help distribute the resources of society around to, in this case, nurses and people who clean the hospitals and so forth, which it does a little bit. But honestly, this is a waste of resources. It would be much better if we didn't have all these people having to be arrested and put in jail, which is a whole big discussion under the Zeitgeist system. They would be no incentive to go out and steal and rob and so forth. But in terms of health care, our incentive ought to be to spend as little money as we possibly need to in the healthcare industry, because that's not helping. Spending lots of money is not helping the economy. Having people be healthy is what is good for the economy and for the society. So that
I agree. It's like Peter Joseph said, socially negative attributes of society have become positively rewarded ventures for industry, and I think that's what we're seeing right now. And it's really important stuff. Is that it's crime and terrorism and war, the things that are a constant in our society, the private prison, WAC and HUDs, the other corporations that are publicly traded and make more money in accordance with how many people they lock up. This has become part of our system. It's almost we live in a sick system, and I think that Americans are waking up to that.
It is, Bob. It's really upside down. It is absolutely upside down. If we were to do as Zeitgeist movement would suggest, which is to build a society where we produce without a price tag, based on cooperation and cutting everyone in, sharing, making sure that everyone's covered, then all these wars and all these prisons and hospitals that where we are more interested in having expensive patients than we are having healthy individuals, it just would not be necessary. What do we fight over? We fight over resources, largely, primarily. I mean, the vast majority of what we fight over is resources. And so this competitive character is getting totally out of control for the human race. And, again, if you got 85 people with as much wealth and power, as 3.5 billion people, then you can't possibly imagine that there's a possibility for democracy. I mean, this actually makes it very easy for those who have won the game to also buy the politicians. And
what is
so
it? Well, I'm sorry. What is the you mentioned the failing democracy here? How the conditions in America, the material conditions, almost make it impossible to have a democracy. And so, what is the Zeitgeist position as far as where we're headed right now? Because I would argue, and I have been arguing on this show, and I've been really reading some of Ralph Nader's work, and how Ralph Nader has been arguing that America is moving towards fascism, where we have the erosion of the countervailing institutions that are designed theoretically to protect Americans, all sorts of cooperation among workers, and industries have been basically nullified by our current system, and yet we see the corporate state in America grow to astronomical proportions. In fact, you know, Peter Joseph has talked about the market system, how, you know, during the time of Adam Smith and John Locke, it was impossible to imagine a market system or a financial system that is basically based on the movement of money that produces no inherent value to society. And now we have the financial market that dwarfs the global GDP. And it's just really – so where do you think under the current system right now, where do you think we're headed if we don't change and we don't start, I think, adopting some of these principles?
Well, I don't want to be able to say that I'm speaking for the entire Zeitgeist movement, but I think in general people would we recognize that the system is ever more going towards authoritarian, possible fascist or fascist type of behavior. And it's for the same reason. There's nothing strange or new here. It's for the same reason that so things are getting so bad for so many people. Then they complain. They demonstrate. They maybe even do things they shouldn't do. But then you can get charged with terrorism. For demonstrating.
Yep.
All President Obama has to do is declare that you're a terrorist, and he can shoot you. He can kill you.
Yep.
I mean, the writ of habeas corpus has gone out the window, at least for the time being, and that is a strong sign that we are in a very dangerous stage in our political development. So I think the Zeitgeist movement would generally agree that we're in serious trouble, that our politicians respond to money, again, the few that have it, and the contradiction, as you referred to yourself, that Peter Joseph and all Jacques Fresco and Roxanne Meadows and all the others would point out, the contradiction is how at the more competition leads to more losers, more inability to pay one's bills, more anger, frustration, people doing things that normally they wouldn't do. And then a state that comes down crashing on people when they get angry and complain, which they rightfully should do, when the truth of the matter is we have the technological capability to meet everyone's needs. This is what's so ironic and so frustrating for all, I'm sure, all the members of the Zeitgeist movement, that we have the capacity to bring an end to all this, to bring an end to so few people having so much, so many people having almost nothing, and not being able to. There's a film coming out now. It's called Ivory Tower. You probably have heard it. Young middle class kids are coming out of college with bills that they can't pay. We're in a perfect storm, really, and so the more the anger and the frustration builds, I would hope that people, rather than just getting into the street and throwing things, that they would listen to the message that the Zeitgeist movement is offering them, organize and demand that we build another world. Another world is possible, but it is going to be a different world, a very different world from what we have now. Because if we're going to try, and this is the big problem that those of us who've tried reform in the past, if you try to reform this, it's you know, you might get a little bit here and a little bit there,
right.
but you're not going to fundamentally, if you're not going to fundamentally change the system, you're just going to stay, the contradictions are going to continue to build, and that is going to lead to a state that is going to be more and more repressive as people get more and more angry. And this is, you know, we're fighting over oil in the Middle East, okay?
Yep.
This is what we're fighting over. Go ahead.
And it's under the current paradigm, I'm at the point where elections don't matter because I believe that both parties are essentially, you know, factions, as Noam Chomsky said, we have one political party, the business party, two factions of the business party. Both parties are fundamentally anti-worker, anti-whatever benefits you and I. And, you know, we were talking primarily about competition and the market and the pursuit of money. Well, they own the yardsticks. It's another thing Ralph Nader talks about is he who owns the yardsticks owns the game. And so as long as we keep on abiding by the same, you know, reform over revolution and, you know, minor tweaking, as you say, you know, here and there, then we're going to continue on the same path, and it's ultimately going to lead to dissatisfaction, a very, very unequal society, and all the problems associated with an unequal society that we have right now in the United States. And it's not going to benefit anyone except for the moneyed interests of America. And that's why it's so important. I'm beyond the election system, and I'm beyond the media, the corporate media, which I know Peter Joseph and the Zeitgeist movement generally is extremely skeptical of, and rightfully so. And I think that, you know, all of this, and you talk about dissent, you know, it's amazing is that the Occupy protesters, which I would consider close to some of the ideas and concepts of the Zeitgeist movement, they basically cease to exist anymore because, you know, a massive government effort was put forth, a coordinated effort to disband such resistance. Whereas
That's right.
you look at the Tea Party and look at the Sovereign Citizen movement, they're swelling now, and the Tea Party movement is you know ever more powerful. They have a huge infrastructure, and that is because the Tea Party and the movements on the right essentially reinforce the corporate structure. So, you know, all of these are troubling signs to everyone out there.
Well, it was, in fact, in Germany, it was the what we call the petty bourgeoisie or the small business community, which is where the Tea Party basically is a small property. That's where they are rooted, and that's where the Nazi movement started. And it makes perfect sense because, you know, the rich never really get hurt terribly. I mean, even if they lose a few billion here and there, they've got plenty of other billions to protect them. But the small business, petty business people, they do get hurt and they get very angry. But they, as you say, they don't want to change the system. They just want a bigger slice of the pie.
Right.
And when times get as they are now, tough for most everyone, I would say the bottom 80% of us, they get angry too. And this is what the Tea Party is all about. They're angry at government. They think that government, if it's put to the side, if you just put government to the side, then everybody can compete on an equal basis. And I just think that's rather naive. I really do. As long as you're going to have a competitive system, I do think you're going to have winners and losers. I've never seen a game where everybody won. You know, and Brazil, I don't think you know everybody's going to win at the soccer matches. So. And so that's where they're coming from, and they are very, very dangerous group, the Tea Party. I'm sympathetic to their being hurt, but there are many more people in far worse condition, but situation. We're in a very very precarious time, and I have to say that I really think that we have a choice to make. Either we go towards the direction that Zeitgeist is recommending and move beyond this present system that we're in, and go towards, something close. I mean, paradise is I know it wouldn't be paradise, but it would be something moving in that direction, as opposed to oblivion. And we're headed in that direction right now. We're headed in the direction of oblivion. We're really headed in the direction of either global warming doing us in through this growth, or this need for more growth, consuming more resources without taking in I wanted to say, we've got to get onto solar, wind, and geothermal. But these things, we can't get onto these things because the oil, gas, nuclear industry don't want it to happen. So, if we don't do these things that we've got to do, which Zeitgeist is urging people to pay attention to look at, this includes young middle-class kids who are being hurt and normally think that everything's going to be fine in their lives. If we don't do this, global warming is going to get us, or there will be a nuclear war at some point. We've come close. We've come very close twice. And we were lucky, boy. We were really lucky. That was in 1962 and 1983. And we may not be that lucky next time. So we had better pay attention to the direction we're headed. And right now, it's not good.
Three things before I let you go here. One, how could people become more active in the Zeitgeist movement? Two, you also have a book that you're working on that seems very interesting. And three, I was wondering if you could do a little promo promoting the show, maybe telling people about yourself and about the movement, and so people can, every time they tune into this broadcast, they could definitely hear about the Zeitgeist movement, although I talk about it a lot on this show. It's always great to have a member, telling people about it so more and more people can hear about it.
As far as getting involved, I just would highly recommend that everybody go to YouTube, go to the internet, and start watching the Zeitgeist films. Paradise or Oblivion. Zeitgeist Addendum, Zeitgeist Moving Forward. These are online. They won't cost you a penny. They're very educational, very mind-bending. So I would do that. And then the next thing I would recommend you do is don't wait for somebody to tell you what to do. Get moving. Get moving yourself. Organize yourself. Organize your neighbors. Organize your friends. Don't wait, for some leader to come along and tell you what to do. All of us need to be, now, of course, we can work together at any time, but we all need to take the ball and run with it. Your second question, I'm trying to remember.
Your book.
That's a long story, and it's another shameful story about the United States' foreign policy, how we worked with a dictator, a man who came to power by Hitler through Mussolini. His name was Francisco Franco, and how the United States worked with this man to keep him in power so that he could keep a Zeitgeist movement from coming forward as a kind of Zeitgeist movement, which did happen in Spain in the 1930s, a kind of Zeitgeist movement where people simply took their resources and took the factories. There's a Richard Wolff talks a lot about Mondragon. I don't know if you're familiar with Mondragon, but you know, people need to take their resources and take control of their factories and so that, you know, that's what happened in the 1930s, and so Hitler and Mussolini and Franco all had to come down on these people because and kill thousands and thousands of people. Why? Because they were poor, because they needed a better life. They wanted an education for their children. And Spain happened to be a country that was, as far as Europe is concerned, at the bottom of the list. So there was incredible desperation there. Things haven't changed a whole lot, you know, with 25% unemployment in Spain today. So I can't explain it all, but it's a truly disgraceful story about how the United States, because of the fear that a zeitgeist kind of movement or a group of people who wanted to take their lives. One of the big things about the zeitgeist movement, I really think that we really do have to decentralize. And I think that the zeitgeist movement really wants to go in that direction of decentralization, at least in terms of culture and controlling one's immediate life and production. We do need to have a universal economic system where we share the resources, but we need to have a system where people are in control of their culture and their immediate surroundings. So that's what these people were doing in the 1930s, in the early 1930s, in 32, 33, 34, in Spain, and so in order to keep those people from being successful, the United States had to support a really nasty fellow, as I said, who came to power with the help of Franco with the help of Mussolini and Hitler. Promo, I'd like to leave you with a promo. It doesn't really say anything about me, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Should I do that now, or?
Yeah, if you would, absolutely. We'd appreciate that.
Well, I wanted to say that this is the Zeitgeist Movement, inviting you to embrace with us a program to save the human race, and that's no joke, to end the needless suffering of our fellow sisters and brothers, and to move our species beyond the childish tribalism and classism of our present age. Join us. Join the Zeitgeist Movement. That's what
I would say. Well said. I can't wait to play that. That is a very, very all-important stuff here. And hopefully we can get you back on the program in the future. I'd like to talk. I mean, we could, any one of these things we could talk about for, you know, almost the entire show. And I definitely want to we're going to be on the lookout for the book that you got coming out. I'm very, very interested in reading about American history and some of the regimes that we've supported, because, you know, I think it was Zeitgeist Addendum talks about, you know, John Perkins and the Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and that kind of parallels with a lot of what you were describing, I think, too. It's all you know, all part of the plan. It's happening right now, and it's going to continue to happen. You know, the United States of America supposedly has overthrown more democratically elected governments, and yet we want to, you know, try to, you know, to the masses, try to promote this idea that we're about freedom and democracy. Well, it all depends on the economic, I would argue, the economic proposals of whatever, you know, regime is out there. Then we you know, we're suddenly on the side of democracy. But that's a whole other discussion for a whole other time. Harry, thank you very much for joining us. I really, really appreciate it. This has been a great show. It's great to finally have somebody on from the Zeitgeist Movement, and thank you for all your work, and you know, hopefully we can have you on the show sometime in the future.
Well, thanks, Bob, and indeed, you're absolutely correct. There's a lot more to talk about, and there's you know, we can certainly talk about it another time. So it was a great pleasure. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Harry. Take care.
All right, Bob. You too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Harry Kaysen. He's a political science professor at CUNY, College of Staten Island, and author. He's got a new book coming out, very, very important, U.S. Relations with Spain under Francisco Franco and Spain's Eventual Liberalization, and a member and supporter of the Zeitgeist Movement. You know, I got to tell you, it was really refreshing to finally have somebody on from the Zeitgeist Movement. And, you know, we talk about this all the time, and I really want to focus the remainder of the show on some of the concepts discussed by Peter Joseph and in some of the Zeitgeist films, because, you know, all of what we were talking about, the exploitation of resources for competition, the wars for oil, and the constant state of, you know, agitation and as socially negative attributes of society. Well, that's playing out right now in Iraq, right? I mean, you could just see what's happening right now in Iraq, where there's the United States is sending in military advisors, and we all know what that means, right? I mean, anytime we send in the advisors, that's always a prelude to war. And you know, we're involved with a quagmire. We have been. And what happens is, when we go to war, and this always happens, particularly in contemporary history, when the United States of America goes to war, it's usually on false pretenses, outright lies, as was the case during the Bush administration in 2003 or 2002. Saddam's supposed ties to Al-Qaeda, which were proven false. Saddam Hussein had no relationship with Al-Qaeda. There was no Al-Qaeda presence in Iraq prior to our invasion. The weapons of mass destruction, of course, another lie, which was propagated by the Bush administration, and there was ample evidence that there was no weapons of mass destruction. In fact, the United Nations had chronicled that they destroyed almost all of Saddam's weaponry, much of which he obtained from the United States of America. And so, you know, we went to war, and what happened after that? Well, what happened after that is we accumulated trillions of dollars on a national credit card, right? We have President Obama in 2008 getting elected, campaigning against the Iraq War and campaigning against the fact that the Bush administration didn't pay for the war. And yet we still had to pay for the Iraq War, which is an example of waste and inefficiency, which is an example of the socially negative attributes that are essentially rewarded by our economic system. And even with President Obama, the last 4 or 5 years we've been on an austerity kick in the United States of America. The powers that be use war to structurally adjust this country, and that's what's been happening. We have to pay for their war. It always happens like that. We have to pay for their war by, you know, reducing the amount of money going to students, charging them higher interest rates. We have to pay for their wars by not extending unemployment benefits, by cutting food stamps, by cutting. Somehow we have to cut. We don't have the money. We you know, when it comes to social programs, we don't have the money. But yet when it comes to war, that's paramount. We always have the money when it comes to war. Trillions of dollars, oh, no problem. Trillions of dollars missing from the Pentagon budget, no problem. You know, hundreds of billions of dollars going to companies like Halliburton, which was on the verge of bankruptcy before the Iraq invasion, no problem. It is all of this. It's a sick, disgusting system. And this all correlates with the content in the Zeitgeist Movement, is that we our value system has been distorted to accept such a sick system. And I'll give an example. During the Iraq War, what did we hear about the Iraq War before the invasion of Iraq War? We heard that if you don't support the effort in Iraq, then you're un-American. You're either with us or with the terrorist, right? Love it or leave it. The same sick, the same platitudes that lead us into war every time and lead us towards a fascist nation get propagated on the American people, and the American people, by and large, that go along with this. You didn't see much dissent. You didn't see much opposition to our invasion of Iraq. Now, there was among some circles. You can remember Phil Donahue of MSNBC coming out against the Iraq war, but he was marginalized. The Dixie Chicks, others were marginalized. And the American people, by and large, and particularly the Democrats in Congress, they supported the propaganda effort by George W. Bush. They supported it. Even though a majority of Americans wanted UN approval, that didn't matter to the corporate media. The corporate media has a vested interest in going to war. Companies profit by going to war. And this creates, you know, a conflict of interest that is ignored, that is swept under the rug in our current system. And so that's what happened. That, you know, the values reflected the need to go to war. And in this sick system that we have, in this anti-economy that we have, war is treated as a good thing. The amount of human suffering, the cost, the human cost associated with war is actually good for certain sectors of our economy. But make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have to pay for the war. Once we go into Iraq again, you know, whenever that happens, you and I are going to have to pay for it. That's always how it works out. And it's not just with war. It's with everything. Tax cuts, right? The Republicans in the House just voted to give $80 billion in incentives to businesses. Okay, we have a built-in corporate welfare system that you know that I've talked about to the tune of trillions of dollars. I mean, we could spend an entire show chronicling the amount of corporate welfare that is inherent in our system and continues to be dispersed to these same corporations that are, you know, just pillaging our commons, that are shaping the discourse, that are treating workers as disposable. These corporations that are sucking the life out of you and I, right? You know, that's a whole other area of the economy. That's a whole other way that we have to pay for their lifestyle. We have to pay for the amount of corporate welfare going to the very wealthy that's enriching them and that is responsible for a huge accumulation of wealth at the top. It's always the poor that has to pay for the very wealthy. And that's what we have in America. And that's why I think it's so important to really examine the ideas put forth by the Zeitgeist movement. Michael Rupert is a journalist that we've spoken about on this program. And he's someone that, you know, really is almost marginalized as a conspiracy theorist. You know, I don't agree with everything Michael Rupert has to say, but, you know, one thing that he brings up in the Zeitgeist movement I think is very important is that you have to create problems to create profits, okay? In the United States of America, there is no profit in doing the right thing because of our market-based system. There is no profit in saving lives. There's no profit in sustainability. There's no profit in, you know, personal integrity. There's profit in the things that we talked about. You know, there's profit in being like a Ken Lay, a guy who, you know, basically ran all these shell companies and stuffed profits one area and stuffed losses in another area, and the rules were loosened to allow him to try to get into the banking industry. There's profit when it comes to guys like that, although he eventually went to jail. But nonetheless, he was a high member of our society. He was someone who met with George W. Bush a bunch of times. There's profit when it comes to someone like Mitt Romney. You know, Mitt Romney is opposed to the life sequence. Mitt Romney is fundamentally opposed to the well-being of American workers, as illustrated by his business practices. And yet Mitt Romney is allowed to run for president in 2012 and got, you know, 47% of the vote. And guess what? There's some talk that Mitt Romney may run again, and in which case he may actually win. And we can elect a member, we can elect a person who is fundamentally anti-worker, fundamentally anti your well-being and is rewarded through the most, you know, harsh business practices around. You know, this is an example of a sick value system that we have. You could have someone like Dick Cheney, the architect of the Iraq War, many argue, someone who was instrumental in, you know, putting out lies that led us to war, that resulted in hundreds of thousands of people dying, and has resulted in America becoming a poorer nation. You can have somebody like Dick Cheney on the Sunday shows, releasing a book, gallivanting between you know, media appearances, as opposed to being in jail, as opposed to being, you know, ostracized from the public, as is the case with other countries. You know, in other countries, someone like Dick Cheney or someone like Mitt Romney, they'd be in jail, or at the very least, they would be, you know, marginalized to the point where they can't show their face in public. But here in the United States of America, not only are they allowed to, you know, show their face in public, not only are they allowed to, you know, be part of the public discourse, they're rewarded for their behavior. They're rewarded for their deeds. It is absolutely disgusting. And I'm telling you, folks, I'm ashamed to be an American. This country is just moving in the wrong direction, and it's not a good time to be an American. It hasn't been over the last 30 plus years, and it is getting worse. It is absolutely getting worse, and that's why we're starting to, you know, talk about the, you know, the boycott movement, the boycott the elections movement. We're going to have Terry Lee on the program in another couple weeks or so. That's why we're reaching out. We're speaking with those at the Left Forum. We're speaking with those from the Zeitgeist movement because, you know, we're all allies. Individuals like us, we all essentially want the same thing. We may disagree here and there on how to get there, but we need to be in all of the above movement right now because we have to acknowledge, and this is something I think everybody would agree with here, is that people with our points of view, people that try to present alternatives to capitalism, we are marginalized. We are absent from the discourse. Why? Because they control the discourse. We do not control the discourse, okay? You know, you tune into the Sunday shows, and as Tom Hartman says, it's Meet the Republicans. You have a discussion on Iraq War, and yet you have someone like Dick Cheney almost facilitating the discussion, or guys like Paul Bremer, that really, as I said, should be in some sort of trouble. You know, they're out there on mainstream TV. The discourse is so corrupted, it's controlled by a few corporations, that our only alternative is to create a new discourse. You're not going to see Peter Joseph. You're not going to see any of the members of the Zeitgeist movement on any cable news show for obvious reasons. You're not going to hear any point of view that you hear on the Commons Project Network on any of the corporate-owned, corporate-driven shows. You're not going to see people like myself or people like Pinko the Bear, Brad Helhut, workers, individuals that you know, are poor and essentially are victims to a certain extent of our economic system. You're not going to see us on the media, on any type of media, for obvious reasons. So our only alternative is to reject the corporate media, reject the political system, and create our own discourse, create our own system, and not, you know, basically consent to tyranny. And that's all very, very important stuff because I'm telling you, at the rate we're going right now, it's only going to get worse. It really is. We'll be right back after this brief timeout.
Got no car, so I got no soul. Life in prison, no parole, no control. Food, I got my number on a wiretap. Cause I jacked for civil act. Fuck a Cadillac, so fine. One motive, no focus. Every sidewalk, the walk is like a tightrope. Yes, I know my deadline, sire. With my life is fire, I'm sentencing the salmon of the barbed wire. The mother of my genre, lose her mind at my grave. It's my life.
Hi, this is Frank Schaefer, author of Sex, Mom, and God. You're listening to Carson's Corner, a show I enjoy. I hope you enjoy it, too. I encourage you to listen.
All right, we're back here on Carson's Corner on Blog Talk Radio in conjunction with the CommonsProjectNetwork.com. Big thanks to Harry Kaysen of the Zeitgeist Movement for joining us earlier today. It's a very, very important discussion here, and it's something that we want to definitely have in the future. Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about the Zeitgeist Movement. I'm reexamining the Zeitgeist films, okay? And, again, some of the analysis presented in the Zeitgeist films, I think, are very important. And I think they really, really should affect the way that you look at the current system in America. There's just, or you know, anywhere else in the world, there's just no question about that. It was said that at the left form, when the material conditions of capitalism become unbearable, then things will change. You know, in other words, if you know we're at the edge of our existence, if there's just no room to go, then people will embrace an alternative to capitalism. And I think we're really headed in that direction. I really, really, really do. All right. My name is Bob Carson. This is Carson's Corner. I want to tell you you can friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. You could follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. And you can follow us here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner. Make sure to get involved with the Zeitgeist Movement. Type in Zeitgeist Movement in Google and come across the Facebook page and Peter Joseph's videos and you can watch him on Netflix, and there's no money involved. It's not a cult, as if as some people have suggested. It's just a way to expand your horizon in terms of thought and ideas. Okay, I encourage you to do that, and I also encourage you to check out the CommonsProjectNetwork.com. That is an aggregator site where we have independent, progressive media shows, non-corporate-owned, non-corporate-sponsored, as real as it gets over there at the CommonsProjectNetwork.com. And big, big thanks to Pinko the Bear, who's really grown that site and has worked tirelessly to make sure we get new content up there. So until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.